Okay.
It's okay. I'm Janice Tease from Cornell University. And thank you to you brave souls who have come to almost the final oral session in the program book of these meetings. So what I want to talk to you about today is kind of a tale of two dissemination experiences that I've had in Western Kenya. So this is going to be a mix between working with smallholder farmers and having success in that a framework, as well as some data on biochar and vermicompost behavior on smallholder farms. I wanted to acknowledge that we work at Cornell University, IITA, the International Institute of Tropical Agriculture, and University of Nairobi, our partners on this Feed the Future program under the bean productivity research category of their funding stream. So we have some members from IITA. I wanted to mention Samuel Were and Luisa Munua, who actually gave the bulk of our data report in their posters on Monday. So we did four seasons worth of researcher-managed on-farm trials, and what I'm reporting on now are farmer-managed trials that follow on from that. James Agua, I wanted to mention because he is our field coordinator who has done yeoman's work along the way, my colleague Jean Bonatel, who works with composting, and Willis Otach, who is a manufacturer of small-scale pyrolysis units, and you'll meet him in a few minutes. So our objectives, to reduce soil-borne fungal disease and root knot nematode. So we are locked into working with common bean. It's an important food source in Kenya, an important source of protein, but it suffers from unbelievably low productivity, part of which is due to disease and pestilence. So we ask the question, if with compost and biochar as means to improve soil health, can we have better outcomes in terms of disease suppression and then work that backwards to yield? We're also looking at the effects of vermicompost and biochar on nodulation using some new strains that have been isolated locally in the hope that we could improve biological nitrogen fixation as well. But I'm going to concentrate really on this building capacity in pest disease and organic matter management across the smallholder farmer stakeholder network. So we had our first foray into dissemination. We were working with a dissemination platform that had been in existence for some time. It's won prizes, et cetera. So we said, okay, well, we'll try distributing our packages and our materials through their clearinghouse to their master farmer network and see how we go. We didn't have any in-person training. The protocols were distributed with data collection sheets and a few simple diagrams. We were assured master farmers know what they're doing. They can certainly go out and do this. So of the 18 participating associations, three did not plant the experiment at all. They were paid to plant, they didn't plant. Four out of the 18 installed the trial correctly, according to instructions, 22%. Seven collected yield data and nine collected yield data. So only 50% success when it came to yield data. We also uncovered some little bit of variable payments to farmers and some backlash with that, where the association was keeping the money and it wasn't funneling down to those actually doing the trials. So we thought, okay, this is not working for us. This is not a good communication pattern for us. We really need to be looking at this very differently in our program. So our second foray, we had 23 farmer participants. We did one day of training on disease identification, how to identify fusarium, how to identify the galling from root knot nematode. We also worked through some protocols, pictorial protocols, on how to rank infection, both for the plant pathogenic fungi in the last slide, galls here in this slide, and how to score nodulation here. Taking them out to the field, showing them how to install the experiment, specifically that we're into microdosing in furrow. So we're not spreading biochar all over the world or vermicompost all over the world. We're concentrating it in the furrow, and that is also where fertilizer goes for the fertilizer treatments that we did use. And we had a trial that we put in 2 weeks before this exercise so they could actually see in the field, what does damping off look like? What is it that they're trying to identify? What is it that they're trying to manage? And what does a healthy bean system, well-nodulated bean system, actually look like. So we disseminated 23 packages. These are the inputs that were provided to farmers. The biochar was made from sugarcane bagasse. It was made in a top-lit updraft system. I don't highly recommend that as a means to manufacture biochar, but when you need to manufacture 2 tons of it at once, it's a pretty efficient way to do it. We applied it at 2 tons per hectare. It was 15% volatile matter, 30% ash, 54% fixed carbon, and a pH of 10.25. We were very lucky to come across a company called DuduTech that were in the process of making vermicompost from flower waste and from cow manure. Very high quality vermicompost that we were able to use in our trials. We also worked with Maya Fertilizer Company on a fairly low input fertilizer. They're calling it Mazao, which we found to be really quite affordable for farmers and very much keyed into what nutrient use efficiency is like in these systems. We used a locally isolated strain of rhizobium to inoculate these beans, and we used this rose cocoa bean variety. So we set the experiment up largely so that it could be a good demo. So on one side we had no biochar, we had the no inputs, inoculation, fertilizer, vermicompost. On the opposite side of the aisle, we had biochar and then those treatments. So you could walk down the aisle and you can compare what the effect of biochar was right to left as you were looking at these plots. Okay, so time goes on, our farmers go out. We ended up having 21 out of our 23 farmers successfully install the trials. One kind of hoodwinked us, I won't go into that story. Another's wife got ill and they weren't able to continue with the trial. But 21 out of 23 is a 91% success rate in terms of trial installation, trial management. Every single one of these was followed up with a field day. This is some of the literature that we used in the field day. Why are we using biochar? Why are we using a pyrolytic stove? How you can recycle high carbon materials, how you microdose, et cetera. So we held these field days on each of these farmers' fields. This is Willis Otach. He is demonstrating here our household scale pyrolytic cook stove. You can see it here flaming away. You can see actually the biochar in the outer ring. This was actually wood sawdust that was provided to us, and how little wood was actually used in this process. While we were demonstrating the cook stove, we would boil a pot of tea, and at the end of the field day, we would sit down and have tea that was made on that pyrolysis unit. Then we would move to the field. This is Nelson. He is a marvelous teacher. He took the farmers out to the field. He told them exactly what he did, exactly how he installed it, why he spaced his seeds the way he did. He had little signs up in terms of what his germination results were. It was an incredible day, and I have to say Nelson passed away 3 days after this field day, and it was a great loss to us, but he did an absolutely phenomenal job. Simultaneously, we had our grad students out in the field doing disease identification and actually showing disease symptoms to farmers, what they should be looking for. Examples of wilt, but also examples of beneficials in the field that could be actually helping. We also did an exercise with on-farm composting. How can you use the materials that are there on your farm to make a good compost to help to build soil fertility? At the same time, we've been negotiating with the vermicompost company, and they are willing to actually package their product in 1 kg bags that would be appropriate for use by small holders. So this is just an example of building a pile and doing the education piece here. Of all the field trials, we had 21, as I said, successful ones. These are the distribution of the attendees, very good representation of female farmers for these, and we contacted close to 600 farmers through this exercise. Okay, so what did the data look like? This is an example from Nelson's farm, who you just met, and laid out according to the treatment. So I'll just run you through. This is our no input. And this is nearing mid-season. We do have pods developing on these plants. I can tell you that this fertilizer plus biochar plot here, we counted up to 21 pods on some of those plants. This is astounding production for this region. Okay, you can see biochar improved things a little bit along the line from no inputs. The inoculation, this is something we've been observing across the way for quite some time. There are a lot of bean rhizobia in these soils. They're very good at nodulating and fixing nitrogen. Excess inoculant is actually, we're walking backwards in many of these cases, and you can see here that sort of result. However, it can be rescued by biochar. All right, so we've got a biochar with a pH over 10. We've got some liming ability here, which I think is helping indigenous rhizobia nodulate. Good response to fertilizer, even better response when we have biochar. Good response to vermicompost, a little bit improved with biochar. The vermicompost-biochar relationship was sometimes boosted by biochar in some locations, not so much in others. Okay, so relative performance of all of these treatments, if we look at this line traveling up here with the actual line through it, that is our no input line. We can find that most of the fertilizer treatments, the fertilizer plus biochar treatment, the biochar plus vermicompost treatment, the vermicompost treatment track better, higher yields than we have with the no inputs, and not so much with biochar alone, but then we don't expect it to be a fertilizer either, do we? Okay, so on bean yields, if we look at the control here, we do get a little bit of a bump in yield when we add biochar. Inoculation, no response really in terms of yield, but a little bit of a response. Again, the biochar seems to really help with the nodulation in terms of the inoculant. And both vermicompost and the Mazao fertilizer with and without biochar actually had quite good yield results. When we look at root galling, we can see that we do have a nice effect of reducing root galling where we have applied biochar. We don't have statistical significance here, but where we have biochar and vermicompost together, or fertilizer and biochar together, we're getting a nice reduction in the galling index. We're also seeing some reduction in root rot along with those same two treatments. As far as inoculation is concerned, we get a little bit of a bump of nodulation with biochar, but if you look really across the way, we have a pretty good indigenous population going for us. So not a real big response to inoculation there. So my last couple of words are going to be to harken back to Sunny's presentation on communication, and this was one of the things that was tweeted at the plenary, if any of you were at the plenary, was this tweet. History of communication tools, and Jeff Bradshaw asked, are the activities on the left side of the screen antiquated and irrelevant, or are they tried and true? And I want you to look here at farmer field schools, which we use that method, developed in the 1870s, incredibly successful. Okay, it is tried and true, not antiquated and irrelevant. Farmer field days, even more so, because when you're farming to impress your neighbors, you really are very careful about what you do in your trial. You want it to look good. We had great results. So I think field days are also something that is very tried and true in this environment, and especially with smallholder farmers. So some of the things we learned on the communication side, half of life is just showing up. It really does matter. If you just throw a package out there and expect it to succeed, good luck to you, okay? Check and double check. This is a really lovely quote from Jay Byrne. You need to show that you care before they care what you know, including what you care to disseminate, okay? In other words, again, show up. We ended with a huge farmer interest in obtaining the pyrolytic cook stove because it was extremely clear it increased fuel wood efficiency. They could reuse low quality organic matter that would otherwise sorb nutrients and be of negative quality in the soil, improved indoor air quality. They're very interested in improved germplasm, very interested in vermicompost, and in these new fertilizer formulations as well as the whole microdosing. So there you go. Many thanks to our farmer cooperators, and my heart goes out to Nelson and his family. He did such a wonderful job with us, and we were grateful to have him. Thank you.